Welcome to the latest edition of Nareit's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and I'm joined today by Evan Marble, a member of Chatham Financial's Hedge Advisory Team. Evan is here to discuss the potential impact on commercial real estate from the ongoing transition away from the interest rate benchmark known as LIBOR, the London Interbank Offered Rate. Welcome, Evan.
Hello, and thanks for the opportunity to be on your podcast.
So if you could start by giving us a brief overview of the reasons for the LIBOR transition and what's expected to take its place.
I'd like to begin by putting the LIBOR transition problem into scope. LIBOR is the predominant interest rate benchmark for U.S. dollar as well as other global currencies. It is referenced in hundreds of trillions of instruments. That's measured by aggregate notional or notional principal across various products, both cash and derivatives. LIBOR has played a central role in financial markets. Regulators and the panel banks participating in the benchmark, however, are working towards a future without LIBOR. The unsecured short-term interbank lending market that underlies the index lacks substantial volume, and leading regulators and the panel banks themselves fearful LIBOR has become a judgment-based rather than transaction-based index. Andrew Bailey, who's chief executive of the Financial Conduct Authority, in a speech last summer, drew global attention to the transition plans by announcing the FCA's intention to no longer use their regulatory authority to compel panel banks to submit quotes for the calculation of LIBOR after 2021. This provided the first reference of a timeline for transition, and it established a global time frame of 4 to 5 years to work towards transition plans. But in reality, incremental progress towards a replacement benchmark index was made well before last summer. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York founded a working group called the Alternative Reference Rate Committee, or the AARC for short. The AARC had convened and named a preferred replacement for USD LIBOR 1 month prior to Andrew Bailey's speech last summer. Their preferred replacement index is called the Secured Overnight Financing Rate, or SOFR. It was released on April 3rd of this year and is now publicly available.
So how does this new benchmark, SOFR, address the concerns with LIBOR?
SOFR, by contrast to current LIBOR, solves the issue of not having a robust market of transactions backing its determination. The rate is based on multiple segments of the overnight repo market. It is also in compliance with IOSCO's principles for financial benchmarks and is closely correlated with other money market rates.
So how does SOFR differ from LIBOR?
Well, there are key differences in its composition and term structure. So USD LIBOR is determined by a panel of 16 large financial institutions active in the London interbank lending market. LIBOR is a measure of a bank's cost of funds for certain maturities, whether that's overnight, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, etc. It is an unsecured rate that captures both a credit risk and term premium. SOFR is not determined by a panel of banks. It is a broad measure of the cost of borrowing cash overnight, collateralized by U.S. Treasury securities. So unlike LIBOR, the rate is a measure of secured borrowing and currently has no term structure, meaning it's a secured overnight risk-free rate.
And what are some of the most noticeable ways in which the transition will impact commercial real estate?
Investing in commercial real estate, as we know, is a capital-intensive investment that relies on debt financing. The market's transition from LIBOR as a base borrowing index impacts most, if not all, our real estate clients and the market broadly. It will impact newly issued and legacy floating rate mortgages, corporate lines of credit, bank term loans, CMBS market, as well as the market for interest rate hedges commercial real estate investors use to mitigate interest rate risk in those debt instruments. Those instruments may have different economic conventions after the transition from what commercial real estate investors are familiar with today. For example, SOFR as an overnight rate may mean your loan and interest rate swap reprice on a daily basis, but with monthly or quarterly interest period payment dates. So the most significant impact, or rather most difficult issue to solve, will be the effect of transition on legacy LIBOR contracts, and that includes contracts that exist both today or future contracts that are entered into between now and the date on which transition occurs. So to give you some context about these problems, the existing LIBOR fallback language in many agreements is not suitable for a permanent discontinuation of LIBOR. The intent of current existing fallback language in contracts is to protect against temporary disruptions. So you can think of an example of if LIBOR were unavailable on a particular reset or roll date. So a more permanent solution is necessary. And that's actually the focus of a lot of working groups, is solving this issue of fallback triggers, as well as procedurally how that fallback will look in legacy contracts. The amendment process for existing LIBOR contracts is also dependent on the market, documentations, parties' engagement in tackling the issue, and it's likely to be product-specific. Furthermore, what impacts our commercial real estate investors is the connection between the derivatives and interest rate cash borrowings that I referred to. Commercial real estate investors want there to be a connection between those two markets and them to follow similar procedures on what a fallback would look like, what triggers a fallback, and how the specifics of that fallback are going to be implemented. And our clients specifically are looking to minimize basis risk and slippage between those two distinct markets for debt and for derivatives.
And are there practical steps that investors should be taking right now to prepare for the changes?
I think it's important to get educated. So listening to podcasts like this, reading market materials from the ARC and industry groups like ISDA are important to familiarize yourself and your company with SOFR and those fallback issues that I discussed. The ARC has a number of sub-working groups devoted to specific transition issues. So keep an eye out for working groups consultations that are released. So just this week, the ARC posted a consultation for more robust LIBOR fallback language for syndicated loans. So that would be an example of a document you and your colleagues may want to look at. ISDA, as I mentioned before, is also in the process of collecting comments for a consultation related to fallback language in derivative contracts. Also be useful to review that consultation too. Second would just be to stay educated and watch for market developments. I can't stress enough that this is an evolving topic. Finance and commercial real estate professionals, my advice would be watch for developments and also watch for developments of SOFR-linked debt and derivative instruments. Recently, Fannie Mae issued SOFR index notes in July, and the World Bank and MetLife followed by issuing their own notes in August. And the CME Group launched SOFR futures trading in the spring. So watching for developments in the market, both for debt and derivatives, would be important. And I think finally, take inventory and evaluate the impact on LIBOR transition on your own, at your own company and on your own balance sheet. So take account for how your company's contracts, existing fallback language operate, and what your net exposure is to LIBOR.
Okay, Evan, good advice. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks again for the opportunity.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for previous episodes of the REIT Report.